From theunts.com, this is the Unts Podcast. Featuring artist interviews, unreleased tracks, and previews of the biggest events in electronic music. Available every week at theunts.com. Hello and welcome to the Unts Podcast. I'm your host, Anand Harsh. Today we continue where we left off yesterday with producer Dennis Yashudovich, better known as Grammatic. Yesterday, Dennis J. discussed his background, growing up in Slovenia, playing guitar in rock bands, and his first forays into electronic music production. Today, we find out how he ended up on Derek Vincent Smith's PLM label, and what it was like joining him at Red Rocks for a sold-out crowd 10,000 strong. We also talk about how you should never, never call Grammatic a chill-out artist. His debut PLM release, Beats and Pieces Volume 1, is available for free at prettylightsmusic.com. Today's episode is once again brought to you by Press Play, bringing dubstep champion Nick Crit to Denver's Bluebird Theater on Friday, September 2nd. He'll be joined by Cloud D and Rodway from Maine. You can get tickets by visiting Ticketmaster.com, and you can get more details at PressPlayColorado.com. Let's hear a track you produced with melodic bass purveyor Stefan Jacobs. Here's their remix of Metric's Gold Girls Guns.
Is it ever gonna be enough? 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 Better luck next time. Is it ever gonna be enough? Is it ever gonna be enough? Is it ever gonna be enough? I remember when you were gambling to win. Everybody else said better luck next time. I don't want to bend like the bad girls bend.
Grit and Stefan Jacobs with their Gold Girls Guns remix from their EP Pizza Party. Let's get back to Grammatic.
How did you get pulled into the PLM fold? Had Derek been following your career and reach out to you, or how exactly did that happen?
So the story goes that I started hanging out with Derek in 2009 when he went on his first major like fall tour in the States. So I got hooked up with him by Hunter, who's our mutual agent, and Hunter sent me a support with him. I didn't know about Pretty Lights at the time. So I met him, and I discovered the music, and I was like, fuck, this is exactly the kind of thing I'm trying to do right now. And it's amazing that, you know, he does it, like, in a perfect fucking way, combines the exact same genres and styles and flavors that I'm doing right now, or I'm at least struggling to do it at that time, you know? I started with my first attempt, you know, of making some sort of a mixture between hip-hop, glitch, dubstep, and, you know, incorporated with punk and soul samples and stuff like mm-hmm. that. So, and he already had, like, his second album just came out, and I was like, fuck me, this is amazing. And so we started, you know, touring together and, like, kicking it together. And even back then, when he didn't have a label or, like, a, you know, like a firm plan that he wants to have a label, he said, mm-hmm. like, dude, your music is, like, you're like the only artist like I'm considering of, you know, I would consider even dropping on my site right now. And I'm like, fuck, you know, that's amazing. And then later on, I was in a different label at the time, you know, so I didn't want to, like, you know, be, you know, just, I didn't want to, like, say, okay, fuck you guys, I'm going to roll with this people now. So, you know, right. these guys now. So it's, I don't do it like that. So until somebody yeah. fucks me over first, then I can do it, you know. But I try to be fair, you know. So, I said, yeah, that would be awesome, you know, maybe in the future, like some project, you know, we could do, you know, with PLM and stuff like that. And then 2010 came, and I was in tour with Derek again, and I was dissatisfied with the way my previous label was, you know, handling things, and, you know, they're doing some stuff that were completely irrational from a creative point of view and a business point of view, and they were, like, you know, re-hooking me up with that. So I said, I expressed, we were in tour with Derek, so I expressed my, you know, discontent to him, and it was like, dude, I, you know, let's just, you know, do this. I want to be a PLM, you know, what are you saying? He was like, fuck yeah, dude, let's do it. And that's basically how it happened.
That's fantastic. That's absolutely yeah. great. And so for you, it must be thrilling to not have some sort of corporate entity telling you, you know, how to run your business. Instead, your boss, quote unquote, your label head, is actually an artist to whom you look up to.
Exactly. He's an artist whom I look up to, who I really appreciate. And, you know, he's basically one of my favorite producers right now, because he does the exact same style that I've been driven to do by, you know, my impulses, my creative impulses. And it's like we shared a very similar vision about music, and it's been just a pleasure working with him, like, on every, you know, every level possible. And the fact that they let, you know, artists be creative and, you know, not have any restraints and, you know, countless limitations the label gives today, it's just amazing, you know. So I'm really happy.
drink is called Rakia from Grammatics Beats and Pieces Volume 1. Here's a different DVS than the one we've been discussing. This is Derek Van Scoten with Fresh Start. Start from DBS. He's playing at 51 Bass Camp at Ballston Lake in New York this Saturday. Let's get back to Grammatic.
You know, a couple weekends ago, you hit Red Rocks with Derek, playing that celebrated venue, that huge, gorgeous venue for all those screaming fans. That must have been just an enormous thrill for you.
It was insane. I was like, it felt like unreal because I've never been to Red Rocks before. So some people, like, I'm from Europe, you know, I only heard about Red Rocks. So, you know, it's like some people like, oh, shit, you've never been to Red Rocks? Are you crazy? I'm like, fuck, you know, I know, I'm missing out. So I came there and I was like, fuck, it was amazing. The whole fucking venue looks like a movie set. It's not real, you know. You have to go and touch the rock to see if it's a real rock or just like a set prop, you know. Yeah. So that was pretty awesome to me to see something like that. And I've never seen a venue like that in Europe yet. Maybe there exists, you know, but I've never seen them before. So, yeah, the whole atmosphere, you know, by the time I got to my second set, it was packed. And seeing 10,000 people in an amphitheater, it's kind of intimidating, you know, I got to say. So you feel so small, you know, it's like... And everybody's jamming to your music and, you know, looking at you. And it's like, yeah, it's pretty cool. It's a nice feeling to see that, like, you can rock a crowd of 10,000 people and they can all enjoy themselves. Just as much as it's a nice feeling when you can rock a small club of 300 people, you know.
Absolutely.
It gives you the same kind of pleasure at the end, only, like, in different roads, you know. So it's awesome.
And I think you brought on the only live instrumentalist of the evening. Tell me about your guitar player, Alex.
Yeah, my guitar player, Alex, as they call him in America, but his real name is pronounced Alish. So yeah, okay. Everybody just say Alex, so we call him Alex as well when we are in the States. And his artist name is FAQ, so he started producing recently as well, and he's been playing guitar with me for the past year. And we are just about to drop his first single on my own venture, Dream Big Music. So, yeah, you should be on the lookout for this guy. He's crazy. Yeah, and we've been playing for the past year, and it's been awesome because I wanted to incorporate something in my set that could be a live element, but mm-hmm. not necessarily drums, as everybody else would go for, you know? So
yeah.
I said, I think I could use a guitar, you know, especially on No Shortcuts, which is all like, you know, mostly electronic orientated, apart from the samples. and it gives like a nice flavor to it when we're on stage live to those tracks and when you hear a guitar over it. Plus, we're not trying to make it sound like a guitar, but maybe anything else but a guitar, you know, just like not tweak it out with, you know, guitar rig and some, you know, converters, audio to MIDI, so we can trigger synths with it and do crazy stuff like that with the guitar.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's basically what I really enjoy doing right now, like playing with him, and we kind of have like this cool energy vibe, and he's also like working on his projects right now. He started producing like a year ago, and he just finished his first track that he's satisfied with, and I gotta tell you, it's fucking crazy. It's brilliant, and it's going to drop probably in the next few days. We're going to plug it on my fan page.
Oh, fantastic. We'll be looking out for that.
Totally.
We'll step away from Grammatic for just a moment. This is a new one from Colorado's Slim Thugs. Sacred Swag from Slim Thugs and Billy Blacklight, we move on to next week's guest, Antenna, along with his buddies Love and Light from the Acid Crunk EP number 8, out now on Moody Music. Antenna will be on the program next week. Let's finish up with Grammatic.
You've received all these accolades like Best Chill Out Track or Top 100 Chill Out Artists, etc. Do you want to be known as a chill out DJ, or is there a fire inside of you? and you're like, I'm going to flip these kids on their heads, you know, when you go out and you play live.
No, dude, this is so fucking weird, this chill out thing that's been stuck to me because Beatport, you know, it's like, the weird thing about it is when I dropped my first beat album, my instrumental hip-hop album, which was Street Bangers Volume 1, and that was like really raw. There wasn't no live instrumentation on that. It was just like 2.5 minute beats with, you know, raw fucking kicks and snares and chopped up samples. That's it. So I dropped that on Beatport in 2008, in December 2008. That was my first album. And, you know, there was no hip-hop genre at the time in Beatport. They had some mess-ups or something with a whole beat source thing, and it was offline, and there was no genre to be labeled as hip-hop on Beatport. So when my album dropped, they just labeled it Chill Up, the next best thing, you know? Because it was, you know, kind of a down-tempo-ish instrumental, like chill, you know, instrumental hip-hop. And they said, fuck it, they just, you know, label it Chill Up. And so all of a sudden, like, the album in the next couple of days, like, took over the chart. Like, the first 20 spots on the top 100 chart, like, you know, overtaken by the album. And it stood there for, like, 7 months, which was like, what the fuck is going on up there? And so, yeah, that's, you know, and so people kind of took that instrumental hip-hop for chill out for some reason. And that, you know, that genre stuck on me. You know, because I never thought of those beats as chill out, whatever, you know. But that's just because Beatport labeled it like that. And, you know, it got a huge exposure on that chart. So, yeah, I guess I do chill out as well.
When you play with an artist like Pretty Lights, who does a lot of sample-based old-school soul like yourself, how do you adapt your set versus when you're playing with someone like Mimosa, really heavy, fiery, hype dubstep, which you did at Forecastle?
I never look at it like I should adapt to the guy before me or the guy after me. You know, it's like, I just play my own music and I play whatever I feel at that moment, you know? So it's like, I've never, you know, tried to, okay, fuck, this guy's going to be banging hard dubstep, you know, after us. We should, you know, try to adapt. Because it's like, it's weird for me to think about it that way, because if somebody's, you know, maybe for when you start out, you know, when nobody knows who you are, and it, you should, you know, some people like can, some DJs tend to think, okay, we should like keep it all, you know, I should like keep it somewhere in between like the guy that was playing before me and the guy that's coming after me. So I don't like, you know, some people are like weirded out, like what the fuck is this guy playing? But once you reach some, you know, sort of following, I don't really care anymore, because people know what kind of music do I do and what kind of music do I play. If they want to see me, they're going to be there and enjoy the music. And if they're going to want to see the guy after me, then they're going to go out and smoke a joint, you know? So it's like, it doesn't matter. You know? So that's how I look at it.
That's a great attitude. This Labor Day, coming up on September 4th, you'll be heading off to Electric Zoo in New York City, basically a collection of the absolute biggest names in electronic music. And ordinarily, a gathering like this would feature your big Euro trance and Dutch house DJs. Tell me what it means that so much dubstep and hip-hop can be found on this year's bill. Acts like Big Gigantic are making an appearance where 5 years ago, at an event like this, that would be unthinkable to have, you know, a saxophone and hip-hop beats. I mean, you can actually see the change that's happening in the industry at something like Electric Zoo.
That is actually a very good observation, because I said to myself the same thing when I first got the offer to play Electric Zoo. I was like, fuck, you know, I'm looking at the lineup and Big Gigantic and, you know, Mimosa and those guys were already on it. I'm like, you know, that's really fucking weird, because headliners are like Tiësto and Van Buren and you know, David Guetta, and it's like, and most of the acts are, of course, like Euro orientated trance, electro house, stuff like that.
The stuff that you ran away from when you were a teen.
Yeah, it's, you know, to some extent, but you know, most of those guys on the lineup for Electric Zoo are all awesome producers, you know. And I was like stoked when I saw it. I was like, fuck, this looks like a hoax, you know. How did I get all those guys on this one lineup? You know, so it's pretty cool, you know, to see that. And I was like, fuck, you know, this is awesome that we are actually getting mixed up together. But, you know, I thought to myself, but this is New York, you know, they don't, you know, Americans don't tend to, you know, separate genres in different compartments as much as Europeans do. You know, because mm-hmm. from how I experienced Europe until now, it was always like, you know, you had people that go into rave parties and they only listen to like techno and tech house and, you know, minimal and stuff like that. And then you have people that go in like their drum and bass parties and they only listen to drum and bass, you know. So they have people that have go to breakbeat parties and stuff like that. So it's more like separated. When here in the States, I've experienced that people would rock out, you know, in the set. You can drop in the same set. You can drop a electro house track or a dubstep track or a funk break track. And if it moves them, they're gonna rock out. They're not gonna be like, oh, I thought this was gonna be an electro house set. You know, I always hated that because, you know, why do I have to limit myself to one genre? You know, just because the tempo varies or something. Like, there's like moments when you can drop each kind of tempo during the night. Just, you know, you have to know how to place it, you know. So, you know, that was nice to see that I immediately thought, like, electric duo, okay, so that's New York. They don't separate like we do. Because usually in Europe, on a trance and electro house sex festival, you wouldn't see acts like me or Big Gigantic, you know.
Mm-hmm.
That was really nice to see. And I'm looking forward to that so we can all, like, you know, why not enjoy everything? Why should we separate genres with festivals, you know? Let's just put them all in a big mix and people are going to flock from one place to another and enjoy different BPMs and different arrangements and different music, you know? Let's be fucking open-minded. That was a nice notion that I got from Electric Zoo.
Wise words, Dennis J. Dennis Yashedovich, Grammatic.
There you go.
Thanks so much for being on the UNS podcast.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. And yeah, we can do this anytime. All my love to the UNS site.
Make You Better from Grammatic. That's going to do it for this week's episode. Special thanks go to Crystal Blackburn with Pretty Lights Music, Susie Zimmerman with Magnum PR, yeah, back in action, Wilcox Weaver with Press Play, and of course my guest, Dennis Yashedovich. His album Beats and Pieces Volume 1 is available for a free download at prettylightsmusic.com. Visit theunce.com/grammatic to find out when he's going to be coming to your town. A couple of weeks ago, The Unce launched its 2011 digital music sampler featuring new tracks from Bass Nectar, Thievery Corporation, Freak Nasty, Low Bounce, Future Rock, EP3, Ski Tones, and many, many more. We've got a couple remix tracks as well, one from FS, another from Ill Gates and Dog. You'll be able to get flyers featuring our digital samplers QR code at each stop on the Identity Fest tour, including Saturday in Houston, as well as other major festivals taking place this summer and into the fall. Our street teams will come find you, or you can just look out for folks in UNS t-shirts. Scan the QR code with your smartphone, and you can stream or download each of these songs. If you don't have a smartphone, don't worry about it. Our sampler is featured on our homepage at theunce.com. Remember, today's episode was sponsored by Press Play, bringing heavy-hitting bass producer Nick Grit to the Bluebird Theater in Denver, Colorado on Friday, September 2nd, along with Denver's own Cloud D and Rodway. Tickets are available online at Ticketmaster.com, and you can get all the information you could possibly want at PressPlayColorado.com. Let's get a quick update of the UNS.com contest page. Win tickets to see Atari Teenage Riot in Pittsburgh. You can also win tickets for Boombox and Elliot Lip. Dub Nation presents their Back to School Blowout with Smash Gordon. And we've got festival passes for Jazz Asp and Snowmass over Labor Day weekend, featuring Girl Talk, Thievery Corporation, Paper Diamond, and Porter Robinson, among others, as well as The Workout, coming up in a couple of weeks in Ohio. Hit up theunce.com/contest to enter. Did I mention it's free? Please visit theunce.com for news, artist profiles, and tour dates from across the electronic music spectrum. And go ahead and subscribe to this podcast on iTunes. Write us a review, tell us what you think of the show. If you have any questions, comments, or complaints about the program, you'd like to be a guest on the UNS podcast, or you'd like to sponsor an episode, contact me at anand@theunce.com. That's A-N-A-N-D at theunce.com. Join in the conversation at The UNS Podcast on Twitter. We'll catch you next week.